I don't know how you stumbled upon me, but welcome to the Anthropocene Reviewed, where we discuss common topics and the interrelation between them conjointly. I'm your host, Peach, and today we'll be talking about pets, which I'm sure many of you have experienced. Before we continue, here's the daily fact of the day. A baby spider is called a spiderling. Isn't that cute? When I say pets, most people think about cats or dogs, but there is so much more than that. There are the fish, which are like tiny little spots of living, breathing flesh just floating and existing in a small space surrounded by water. There are also the birds. And yes, I said burbs, not birds. If you understand the reference though, you're qualified for a veteran's discount. And who could forget the small, fluffy creatures called hamsters? Just a warning before I start, I'll be talking about hamsters a lot during this podcast. The type of pet you got can say a lot about your personality, beliefs, and lifestyle. The domestication of animals was roughly estimated to have happened nearly 13,000 to 30,000 years ago during the Upper Paleolithic era. Can you guess what the first domesticated animal was? If you thought of the dog, you're correct. Dogs are actually a subspecies of wolves. Researchers believe that wolves were attracted by the food of early human settlers and became tame to receive scraps. Over time, their teeth, jaws, and noses evolved and changed into the animals we now know as dogs by a process called self-domestication. Humans took advantage of that process and bred them even further to help them with hunting and herding. Other pets such as sheep and goats were domesticated about 11,000 years ago. Although it's hard to imagine that sheep could ever be wild, they were first raised during ancient Mesopotamia for their wool, milk, and meat. It was also the birthplace of many inventions such as the first form of writing called cuneiform and the sailboat. Over there, most buildings consisted of brick and mud. There were hundreds of gods and every city had its own one. After that came the cats. They were widely popular in ancient Egypt, which was also the country I lived in for most of my young years. Ancient Egyptians worshipped cats because they could kill poisonous snakes and even had a god named Bastet for them. If you harm a cat, deliberately or not, the penalty was death. Other animals became domesticated later on. Nowadays, dogs are the most global popular pets with a population of 9 million. Cats come second with a population of 7.5, and the rest, such as rabbits and birds, come after that. But let's be honest, cats are better than dogs. I always thought it was unfair how we cherish some species of animals and killed other species of animals. If you killed a cat, people would look at you as if you're a murderer. I mean, well, you are one now. But if you ate a chicken, it would be natural and normal. Am I the only one who doesn't get it? During my daydreams in school, I've imagined multiple times of a world where every single human on Earth is vegetarian and we get along with animals. Although I know it sounds like a crazy and hopeless dream, it's still nice to imagine nevertheless. When I was young, I was extremely, and I mean extremely, desperate to get a pet. I grew up in a neighborhood where stray cats were an everyday sight. When I was 8 years old, I took a little kitten home one time because I loved it so much and hid it from my parents. I sneakily brought it home in a box and took it to my room. Needless to say, I was caught very soon because hiding a bundle of fur and flesh wasn't an easy feat. If you thought I would last a week, you're far from being correct. I didn't even last one day. My mom was furious with me when she found out. After that, I had to take it back downstairs and I never once saw it again. That still didn't stop me from asking my mom and dad for a pet, though. Getting a cat or dog was out of the question for me, so I looked towards smaller creatures. My parents soon caved in after countless times of begging, and at the tender age of 9, I had a beautiful hamster that I dubbed Cheddar. Truth be told, I had no idea what its gender was, and to this day, I still don't know. I was so scared to hold it or feed food using my hand in fear that it would bite me. After the first few days of getting it, I walked into the room one day to find out that it had quickly... escaped from the cage and was about to fall off the table. I quickly scooped it up, and at that moment, I felt so awed that I had this living, breathing creature that depended on me. For the first few months, I took very good care of Cheddar and looked after everything properly, but afterward, I started to neglect it. I lost all of that spark I had in the beginning, and a year after getting Cheddar, it sadly passed away. The average lifespan of a Syrian hamster is about 2 to 3 years, give or take. I cried for an entire week. My mother recalled me bursting into tears at random times of the day. I guess once you lose what you take for granted, you realize how much it means to you all along. The regrets and what-ifs start pouring out, but time just goes on. It did give me an insight into how I treat people and the things around me. My second pet was another hamster. If you don't count that turtle I had for a week before my family gave it away and the kitten I caught. After a few years of my loss of Cheddar, I started wanting to get another hamster again. This time, I had to beg hard. My parents weren't willing since I failed to properly take care of my past pet. I had to make a list of rules to follow along with a timetable of what I was gonna do every day. To seal the deal, my parents made me sign those papers. I was extremely ecstatic, and together we went out to find our new pet. When I held Muffin in my hand, the one thing that stuck with me was that she was as light as a feather. She was lighter than Cheddar and seemed like a ghostly skeleton. This time, I definitely knew the gender. In case you haven't already seen, I have a knack for naming my pets after food. Now that I look back on it, I can see that those are some really weird names I gave. Muffin sounded like an affectionate name you would give to a lover, like, "Hey, Love Muffin, how's your day?" Other than the terrible name I gave her, everything was just peachy, no pun intended, until one unsuspecting day when I went to clean her cage. I opened the top and looked down only to find a bundle of pink aliens staring up at me and wiggling all around. You might be thinking, "Peach, you can't be serious," but oh, I am serious, alright. They really did look like extremely tiny hairless pink aliens. After the initial shock, I started to realize that these were actual baby hamsters, and I bought a hamster home that was pregnant with 6 children. 6 baby hamsters, 6. I bet you can already imagine how that went down with my mom and dad. We took care of Muffin and her children though. Watching them grow up, open their eyes, and get fur all over their body was one of the most amazing experiences in my life. I understand why some people want children so desperately. Watching them grow up, open their eyes, and get fur all over their body was one of the most amazing experiences in my life. I understand why some people want children so desperately. We love pets. They are our friends, our companions, our confidants. If we look back in time, we can see that most cultures have some form of animal contact or domestication. The Egyptians? Cats. The Peruvians? Llamas. The Indians? Elephants. Pets have helped us survive through all these ages and practically have gone through most of humanity with us.
You could even say that they are part of what makes us human. They rely on us, and we rely on them. Pets show that humans need some form of love and care in their life. They also distract us from our inevitable doom and fill up the empty hole in our hearts. I'm sort of cynical that way. We care for them like they are our children. The book Animal Farm by George Orwell talks about a group of farm animals that want to take command over the human farmer. Have you ever wondered how your pets see you as? My hamsters always bit the wires of my cage, and I can't help but wonder if she wanted to escape. They might surpass us one day. We've even evolved them into the next stage, robotic pets. They can mimic movement and even achieve feats greater than normal pets. With robotic pets, they could be our lifelong companions because they would never die. Even though the future is always uncertain, I believe that pets will continue to inescapably, inevitably go on and be a part of humanity and society until the end of time. Just like the famous leader Dalai Lama said, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. This is what pets are to us. Thank you for listening to this podcast. This is Peach, signing out.